I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Dave Hasty. Josh, are you there? Hi, I'm Dave Hasty.
I'm Josh Betteridge.
And I'm George Ashwell, and we are Before the Lights.
Before the Lights.
We run a gym in central London where we train actors for film roles. Everything from superhero workouts.
Is trying to work out with Hugh Jackman just ridiculously intimidating?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I lifted a 160 deadlift or something the other day. And he was like, oh, mate, that's really good. Well done. Wait, are you talking pounds or kilograms?
To keeping people ticking over mentally and physically between jobs.
When I'm working as an actor, you're like, oh my gosh, I never knew that life could be this amazing. When you're not working, that can then feel like... I remember all of those older actors who were very sad whenever they weren't working. And I'm like, now I get it.
Our day-to-day is in the gym, but this is absolutely not a podcast about how to work out or get ripped. You might get the odd tip every now and again, because that is how we earn our living. But the main reason we're here is just to chat to our clients about their careers and their relationship with fitness.
This is where I start to sound kind of like one of those actors who's going to talk about his process. Like, you got to look after your instrument, man.
Expect everything that goes on behind the scenes, when they're on set, on stage, or embarrassing themselves during a workout.
It's me running, and you just see, like, my hands. I keep on going. So you just see me kind of, like, limping out of shot.
I was first up for the relay team, and I didn't have any spikes. We set off, face planted, on the tarmac, and I just heard Scott Dawson, who I fancied so much, go,
shout out, Scott.
Liv, your ass is munching on your shorts, like that.
You're listening to the Before the Lights podcast.
This week's episode is Benjamin Walker, starring in the upcoming Lord of the Rings on Prime show, which I think everybody knows is going to be absolutely massive. If you're a fan of sound effects, it's just constant throughout. They're amazing, they're varied.
He did not stop.
And he did not stop. That aside, quite an interesting conversation about how he got started in the acting world.
And
Gladys.
Gladys
is a weird character that Ben used to play that had an unusual prop that he used to use to play that character. So yeah,
it's worth listening to just to hear him talk about Gladys.
It. Yeah,
I think. This is the next hour. Noises by Ben. Just sound effects.
I always think there's two things I think are funny. Puking that interrupts conversation and a lot of work for a fart with a very little payoff. So if you're like talking, you're like, I'm fine. Yeah, oh no, God. Could somebody give me a sip of waiting? That's funny. And then they're like, my God.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to hear from all the guests on this series.
Yeah, use your notes. Act like a professional, would you? Yeah.
What'd you go as? Scodelario Davis? Benjamin Walker, Benjamin.
What do you go by? I go by.
What do you go?
I go by Ben.
Just Ben.
Yeah.
So every job you take is just Ben.
Ben.
He's like Madonna.
Like Prince. You don't know him. Ben. You don't know him. No, Walker's my
stage name.
My stage name. And
so
it's,
that's what we'll use for this then.
Yeah.
Ben Walker.
Now that we've discovered what he goes as. Can we welcome
what he goes as.
Benjamin Walker
it's just
to the
getting
podcast?
Weird.
Yeah, thank you. Very it's much great for to be here.
The star of the upcoming Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. I mean, Prime. There's a lot of great people in it. I'm not the only
it's
good
a big,
person.
Big ensemble cast.
The star. Yeah. The
we've just heard what you can do on a microphone.
That's so right. Imagine what I can do on camera.
I can see.
Also
why they
make
hide
fart
you.
Sounds.
Ben, what can you say about that? You are king of the elves. Are you allowed to say that?
No.
No, okay. Not king of the elves. I can't cancel that. Ben, what can you say about that?
Not a lot. I don't mind that. Like, it's going to be exciting. It's kind of an epic standalone retelling of the Second Age. I don't know if you guys are Lord of the Rings fans, but the Second Age was like thousands of years before the movies.
Before the movies.
Did you have to get really clued up on it all, or were you already a fan?
I was already a fan, but there was quite a bit of research to be done. It's dense. It's as dense as the Bible, especially some of those early books.
To do that research, did you just sort of run around the forest of New Zealand barefoot and just try and work it out.
Yeah. Rolled in the dirt.
I don't know how you'd learn anything from doing that about Lord
of
the Rings.
I found myself, but yeah. I know nothing about Tolkien. There's a lot of reading, and some of it is I would do audiobooks. I'm a big audiobook fan. The teaser trailer came out. And
it was great.
It looks
and
great.
Also the trailer before that, which was like a smelting gold thing down a little canal.
Yeah.
You told me it's real. They
it's
actually
not CG,
did that.
They actually
well, it's not CGI, but the interesting part of that is that no one knew that it was
real. Yeah, no one knew that it was real.
It was,
but that,
just thought it was
CGI'd. But if you were like a diehard fan, you might know. The cool thing about the show is it's going to be for people that know Tolkien and are like obsessed with it. Like the super fans are going to get a lot out of it. And it, also if you're like, I don't care if it's CG or not.
Yeah.
Like even with the trailer, it's going to be cool.
It's a good time to go back to the beginning. Go into Juilliard.
Sure.
As a kid from the south.
Yeah.
From Savannah, Georgia. Were you
Cartersville.
Like, were you like odd one out?
Can you explain what Juilliard is for the likes of people like me?
Sure. It's an arts conservatory in New York.
It's like RADA in New York.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like, it's like an
establishment.
Yeah. Moving to New York was certainly culture shock. But it was one of the... I really loved it from, you know, jump. It wasn't overwhelming. It just felt like, okay, this is a good place to start. This is a good place to learn. Every day is going to be a learning experience. I love it. I miss it all the time.
Was there any kind of physical element to it? Because you were talking about it's like there's music and dance and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's conservatory training. So you do everything from today you're going to be a tree to like...
I've heard about those ones where they're like, you have to kind
start
of...
Start as a seed and you...
Yeah, you find yourself, you know, I'm from
do you
like
have to really get into
a small
it?
Town in Georgia and I'm at the Bronx Zoo studying a wolf so I can pretend to be one for a week. And how is this going to help me? My first or second year there, I was really struggling with that kind of stuff where you're just like, I'm laying on the floor just breathing. I don't understand how this applies. I should just go get a job. Exactly, because that's how stupid I was. You know, I just get a job, you know? It's a problem. But one cool thing about going to that school is they help you see theater. And, you know, they'll help you get tickets to all kinds of different shows. And I'd seen this Samuel Beckett play called Text for Nothing. This guy, Bill Irwin, did it. And he's like a physical comedian and a brilliant actor, but also he does some kind of clown work. And he's really out there and cool. And I saw this play, and he doesn't use any words. It's just all sounds. And then by the end of the play, he's like eaten by a pile of dirt. And I'd never seen anything like it. I don't know that I like enjoyed it, but I was really glad that people were doing it. And I was just kind of moved by the expansive possibility of what you could do with art for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time at school, I was going, now, I think I'm going to quit this. And I had a teacher that was like, have you seen anything you've liked lately? And I said, well, I saw this play downtown. A guy gets eaten by dirt. And he was like, and you think anything weird you're doing during the day would help you be able to do that as a job? And I was like, oh,
I get it. I'll go back to being a tree.
That makes sense now.
Yeah, sorry.
And then you started stand-up while you were there.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, because it's a conservatory, they don't let you perform for the public early on, because, you know, you're kind of like stripping away old habits and, you know, trying to build new
ones. Don't want to be judged on you being shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to be bad before you get good.
Yeah.
And I kind of missed that audience participation. So I started doing open mics and stuff. And so you end up, you know, handing out flyers in Times Square. You know, that guy who's like, you like stand-up comedy? I was that guy. It was terrible. Doing stand-up in New York, you got to kind of pay your dues. And it's hard to get a long chunk of time. So one of my friends and I, Rudy Valdez, who's a very great filmmaker, by the way, started this stand-up show where it was a free show for you to come see it, which was always a big hurdle to get people to come to your shows. And you got to do at least 15 minutes of material, most of which would have to be new. And it was called Find the Funny. And that way, like, young comedians building material would come. You would have a guaranteed audience, and everyone would have a good time, because, you know, if they didn't pay $20 to get in, they'd, you know, the bar would make money because they'd pay for drinks. And, like, we had, like, Hannibal Buress, Reggie Watts, Phoebe Robinson, Michelle Wolf, like, some really great comedians would come in and work out at our show. So it built this following.
Actually, no, saying that, this wasn't leading, because I was going to talk about this. But
you want to talk about Gladys?
I want to talk about Gladys.
Let's talk about Gladys.
Gladys.
All right.
I'm going to start this by saying, Ben's cupboard.
Give the setup of someone who doesn't know anything about Gladys.
In Ben's cupboard, in his house, there is a suitcase on the top, like, top shelf of the wardrobe. You open up that suitcase, and there is the rubber torso of an old lady with boobs and everything that you can wear on your own face and body.
Yeah,
and it's called so
it's like a full thing.
It's a full thing, like Jackass, you know, like when he wears like the old person. Yeah, Ben has one of them in a suitcase.
For a job or just something you're
well,
into?
Well, so I always had this idea for a funny character. And so I talked to one of these designers, and he made me this hood. It's a silicone hood that you can just kind of slip over your head, and it's got, like, I think probably human hair, and it's got eyebrows, and it's shockingly realistic.
Yeah.
And you can get in and out of it in like 2 or 3 seconds. And
I'm fucking freaked out.
Let's go back to the fart sound, shall we? So Gladys. So I had this idea of, you know, everybody's coming in, they're excited to see the show, the lights are kind of up. And I just thought it would be funny if this crazy old woman just starts walking through the audience harassing people. And so she would come into the audience with one of those, like, trash grabbers. And, like, steal people's food and pinch people on the ear. And also, like, I would like the idea of it just being unsettling, because you go to a comedy show, you have an expectation.
This happens, and you're just like, what the heck?
Somebody gonna, is she?
Yeah.
Is she part of it? Should we help her? But eventually, so that we had this house band, and so they'd be vamping when people would come in. So she would kind of drunkenly stumble around, like one of her boobs would fall out. You know, I mean, it was just like, it was funny, but also kind of like sad and weird. And then she'd get up on stage, and she never really spoke. But she'd pick up a guitar, play this crazy guitar solo, and then she wouldn't stop, and then the band would stop, and then she'd keep playing, and then she realized it's awkward again, and she kind of takes the guitar off and wanders off stage. And the cool thing is, then you can rip it off and run in, and you're like, hey guys, how we doing? Like, you have no idea what's going on. And then like, okay. We only did it a few times, but that's Gladys. If we ever need to, like, murder somebody, that's what you
just
use.
Just go as Gladys.
Exactly. Yeah. They never find you.
Or we do a whole episode with Gladys. Do a whole podcast.
Oh god,
episode.
No, she doesn't really talk.
Yeah, it'd just be a lot of shredding on the guitar and we'll come back to what this whole podcast is supposed to be loosely based around, which is health and fitness.
Sure.
Considering that's how we make our living.
Right.
And for people that may or may not have listened to it before, that's kind of the crossover with our world and your world, as we facilitate some of the jobs that you might have or that other people might have. And that when, like, you've trained a fair bit in the lead up to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, enduring. Mm.
Was it quite a physical job? Like, there's a lot of the scenery and everything like that makes it seem like it would have to be.
This is where I start to sound kind of like one of those actors who's going to talk about his process. I think it really is true. Like, if you imagine, if you're a musician, you know, and you play a bunch of different instruments, you know what a piano sounds like, if it's in tune, out of tune, if it's got thumbtacks on the hammers, if you're a trumpet player, you know what your instrument sounds like. If you have a different mouthpiece or you take the varnish off, you know, it's all part of what you play. And as an actor, it's you, you know. So if you can't, like, to be aware of your body and how it looks and what it can do, and I think that really makes it makes a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. I've always thought that, and like, I guess even partly like being Gladys is kind of part of that. You're exploring like different ways of moving and manipulating yourself.
Part of the fun is to transform, and what's more fundamental than how you eat and how you look after yourself?
Do you find that, like, exactly a lot of what we talk about is not sort of aesthetically driven? That's kind of a byproduct of it. It's more how you feel, how you move, and that kind of thing. Do you find, like, from a mental well-being point of view, because of the stress of like things like having to move your whole family overseas and working there for a year, is it a bit of a release, like training? Does that offer that for you?
For me, exercise is an integral part of my mental health. Like, just if even my wife, she's like, you need to exercise, be in a jerk. Like, you know, it's just kind of, you know, that I think it's really important. And it's really important in terms of, you know, getting older, being a parent, how you carry yourself, how you feel about yourself. And you got to look after your instrument, man.
Yeah, totally. And I guess for you, it literally is your sort of vehicle for work, isn't it? Like, having a body that moves and is healthy and happy and all that kind of stuff allows you to take on a variety of different jobs and to do them well.
Well, and I kind of started as a song and dance man, you know, like doing musicals and running around. And you know, you watch somebody sing in a music video and then you think, like, okay, I'm going to have to do that 8 shows a week and I don't get to lip sync.
Yeah.
You got to dance and sing and act. It's you got to look after yourself.
It is mad, like, because we often do work with people that are doing long stints on stage.
It'll break
you
down.
And I cannot get my head around, like, how they can do it. Like, from a mental point of view, in terms of you doing the... Not that it's the same thing, but it's like you're in the same show for that long.
Sure.
But then physically, the demands on your body are so intense. Especially, like, you got to do 2 shows a day some days as well.
Yeah.
Like,
my buddy in New York, his name's Greg Hildreth. He's in Company right now, Stephen Sondheim show. But he... he played Olaf in Frozen for a long, extended period of time. And so he's dancing, he's singing, but he's also working this puppet. This is a puppet. What's the big deal? But he, like, the amount of repetitive injury you would get just by doing this 3,000 times a day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's...
it's not what your hand's designed to do, is it?
No.
Like, as a
as an instrument. Stick inside another person and do that, make them do stuff? Yeah, no.
If you even just try to do that for a few minutes, it gets tired pretty quick.
Yeah,
I saw you do American Psycho.
Yeah, well, that's another Broadway. Like physical.
You
change.
Ran. You obviously, like, the whole part was Bateman. What's his name? Bateman.
Patrick Bateman.
He is kind of physically. Yeah, he's a machine. He's like whatever. He's a psychopath. He keeps his body in like so you had to do that, but then. Like, you ran and sang for the entire show. Oh, I was tired watching you. I was jet lagged. I just turned up. That was an intense experience. But you did that for how long? Like, months?
Yeah. Eight shows a week was a monster.
Did you train by running and singing through parks?
Doing it. I mean, but that's the thing. You can't expect to get in shape as you do it. You got to be in shape beforehand.
Yeah, yeah.
I was working with a guy in New York. Rich Beretta is his name. I guess he was like... the fundamental first trainer I ever had who taught me the importance of having a trainer. So, because before that, you know, you kind of like, well, I watched this YouTube video, so I guess I'll try to pick that up. Oh, too heavy, my back hurts. You know, like that kind of, like, you just, like, you can really booger yourself up.
Yeah, yeah.
And also having someone who, A, monitors your form, B, helps you motivate to do it, and, see, helps you do it efficiently, which sounds like form, but it's not. You know, the difference, like when I work with George, and, you know, you'll be doing
like a heavy back squat. And he just comes over and kind of puts pressure on the outside of your knees. So now your knees are going a little bit more over your toes and out, and you're actually working your butt. And now all of a sudden you can't pick up that weight because you're doing it properly. Mm-hmm. Like that difference makes all the difference, because then you're not, you know, ingraining bad habits and, you know.
Is there an equivalent to that in terms of like training your voice?
Oh, yeah.
Like projecting yourself in terms of those big auditoriums and being able to sing on like night after night.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's
that
like,
must be a lot of work.
Yeah, and it is a muscle, like any other muscle. And weirdly, it falls, your voice falls in the category of, like, it's halfway between, you know, a voluntary muscle and an involuntary muscle. You know, your heart beats without you thinking about it, but my hand does, you know, Olaf face when I want it to. Whereas your voice, kind of, it's really connected to what you think and how you feel. You can tell so much about somebody by how they sound and how they speak. Everybody's kind of trying to sound like something, or you have an idea of how you sound.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a weird thing that you do have to exercise and take care of.
When you come off stage playing Patrick Bateman, how did you not?
How did you not kill everyone?
How did you think you're not America Psycho?
Yeah. It was. I mean, you're usually so tired at the end of the day. It's like, oh, I'd get in the shower and like, I'd forget. Because I'd take the train home, and one night I hadn't showered very well, and I had, like, blood coming out of my ear. And I was sitting next to this woman on the subway. And you know those moments where you, like, you know exactly what to say at the exact right time? This was one of those moments. She was just kind of looking at me with these big, wide eyes. And I went, don't worry. It's not mine.
Shitloads of stuff.
I'm better than others.
Yeah, but like been nominated for a Tony.
Yeah.
Like done a lot of good shit, but you have done Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer.
See, I didn't
Vampire
know.
Hunter. He doesn't ever claim to slay them.
I didn't
slay
know.
He's on the lookout.
I don't know if we were going to bring this up. But
we can talk about it.
No. It is genuinely a great film. Like,
It's a fun movie.
No, it's super fun, but there is a scene in this film.
You're talking about the horses.
Of course I am.
Talking about the horses.
It's the most confusing piece of cinema for like logistics that I've ever...
So the director, Timur Bekmambetov, crazy, far out, he's from Kazakhstan. And he did the Wanted films.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's like, we'll shoot a bullet, then we'll actually, it'll bend. You know, like, who? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's Abraham Lincoln and the other vampires, you know. Yeah.
So Ben plays Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
And he's a vampire.
He kills vampires. That's his job.
And it was actually, like, all joking aside, that was a very, very physical job.
Yeah, you jumped around and
it was
a lot
spinning
of
axes and, like, yeah. It, you know, it was more like dance, a lot of it. But yeah, there's a scene in it where we go kind of leapfrogging on the backs of a stampede of wild horses.
He's fighting a
like
vampire.
Like you do.
Yeah, he's fighting a vampire. The thing is, they walk into this paddock during mid-fight. The paddock has about 10, maybe 15 horses
How
in the paddock.
How many times have you watched this movie?
Enough.
Listen,
this scene, plenty
union,
of times.
The union for the horses is like, you can have 10.
But then they jump on the horses, but then it turns into a stampede of a million horses.
Well, that's how stampedes happen, George.
No, but there's no horn. These horses don't exist.
Oh, they do. That, you know, your stampede will be on you like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it will. It's the greatest CGI jumping on the back of horses fight I've ever seen.
I'll send you a clip because there's something called a goosh, which is a stunt move where you're wearing
between your
legs. you've got this harness on. Let me see if I can describe this properly. You're wearing like a chest vest that is going to support your body by a cable. And then they take that cable, which is connected to your back, and they wrap it up between your legs and it comes up in front of you. Like you're kind of sitting on it like a seat. And you're standing there, and what they do is somebody jerks that cable really hard and it pulls your butt up over your head and flips you over.
Do a backflip. Wow.
And so we're doing this, and the goal is it's going to pull me, flip me over, and land me on a running horse.
Of course.
So
a
I'll
real
sit.
Horse.
No, this was a styrofoam kind
okay,
of,
gotcha,
you know,
gotcha.
You put
that,
a you put
complex.
A quarter in,
timing
and
the
it goes up and
right
down. And but I've got a whole montage of me just flipping and hitting my head in the horse's ass, and like it, also if you don't have the cable taut. It can slip and like give you. I think that's why they call it a goosh.
Yeah,
and
goosh.
And yeah. So that was a learning curve.
Like,
but also, it's
I'd like to see this video.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
It's
you should also watch the scene from yeah. Oh, you can watch the whole
go watch the movie, guys.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's watch that film.
It's you know, 4 score and 7 years ago.
Was this before Daniel Day-Lewis played Lincoln?
It was around the same time, which was bittersweet, I have to say. Well, I was like,
when the Oscar nominations came out, yeah, for Lincoln, is it
Daniel Day-Who?
Oh, so close. The other one. Lord of the Rings is one thing. American Psycho was kind of like, our idea was that he was kind of like prison ripped. Mm. He looked scary physically as opposed to kind of waifish and modelly. Yeah, he looked scarier than that. And then you have like, I did this Ron Howard movie, name drop. You know who's a real name dropper? Jennifer Aniston. called In the Heart of the Sea. And so that story is about the Essex, a whaling ship. And they get shipwrecked and they all, you know, they don't get shipwrecked, the whale. It's a whole, watch the movie. So we had to starve through the course of it. And, you know, how do you do that healthily? And then how do you get back to a healthy weight? Like, that's all part of the job. I mean, I don't subscribe to the extremes of it where you're actually damaging your future. Like, you know, there are other ways to do it. You don't have to go crazy to where you're not a well and healthy and happy person. Mm. But it does, you know, that's part of the fun.
That's the challenge as well. That's the challenge that we have. It's like, try and make them look like that.
Yeah.
But without them being like I'm working with someone at the moment. It's like, try and make them look like a refugee that is struggling for food right now.
Yeah.
Without just starving them, because there is ways of doing it.
And your job is also interesting because you have to teach someone how to maintain it, whether it's, you know, get them to a place where they can fluctuate. Because, like, before I started training with you guys, I was a culprit of just yo-yoing. If I was working, I was in shape. If I wasn't, I was blah. Especially after, like, In the Heart of the Sea, you know, you had 600 calories a day for 6 weeks.
20 every
day. Now all of a sudden, I'm going to have a pizza. And your stomach's like, no, you're not. What is this? Cheese? Oh, you're going to pay for this. Here's a kidney stone. that kind of sweet spot of where you're healthy and, you know, you can kind of play with it.
Yeah, you can go up or down. You can find what you need to. But you're in that realm of knowing that you're going to be all right.
And you're in such a good, disciplined routine. Because especially for actors, like New Zealand, we found out on a Wednesday we were moving on a Friday. A few days to make this huge decision. Wow. Yeah. And that's pretty normal. You know, she's got a job. We're going to Serbia.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, son. You're going to need a therapist when you're older. but if your body's in good shape and your head's in good shape, then, you know, then it just becomes a job like any other job.
I was going to say, because that alone, like the stress of that, of going, right, you need to pack up and we're off sort of thing.
Yeah, but it's also super fun.
Totally.
You know,
like having yourself in a position where you can like make sure you're able to deal with it all, like you're saying. Important.
If you're a plumber, you have a bad day, you get something to poop on you. if you're an actor and you have a bad day, you know,
you get someone's poop on you.
Yeah, exactly. Hey! It's important, you know, that it's about your well-being. It's so closely tied with nutrition, and why wouldn't what you put in your body contribute to how you feel about your body and feel during your day? Hangry's a real thing on an even grander sense. You know, what's the quote? You leave your art for one day, it leaves you for two. You know, if you don't practice the piano, when you come back to it, you're not as good at the piano. It's the same thing with your body. And also the ability to move. As we live more and more sedentary lives, you know, like, I don't have to worry about jumping and wrestling with my kids. You know, that I can just spring out of bed and it feels good. And it hasn't always been like that. You know, those days you do feel like, oh, man, I'll play with you tomorrow because I'm tired and my back hurts. And, you know, like that's coming for all of us, you know, age.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more we can pay into the fund of, you know, my heart's
that's
doing
what
good.
I mean, that's what I try. We try and, like, it seems so logical when you say it, but when, like, in practice, but like doing something every day, you'll always be able to do it. Like, if you could do a backflip, right?
Yeah.
If you did a backflip every day, you'd be able to do a backflip for a very long time. Like, you'd be able to do a backflip into your 60s or into your 70s, like doing the splits. If you could do it and you do it every day, you'll always be able to do it because your body's like, this is what I do. I do the splits every day, so I'm going to stay like this.
And
so
it's a part
same,
of you.
Yeah, it's you. Whereas the same thing with like just scaling that back to just general exercise and fitness. It's like, do a little bit every day of something that you need to do to challenge yourself, and you'll never feel truly like... You'll be able to push yourself on days.
That's interesting, because I had a great singing teacher one time who was like, what do I do before a show? How do I get warm? How do I maintain this? That was our earlier question. And she would say, you always sing a third higher than you need to in the show. And that's the same thing. You know, if when you exercise, well, today we're going to lift heavy legs. I'm not going to be a bodybuilder, but, you know, like, I'm pushing myself.
Doesn't weigh 80 kilos, but he does weigh 12 kilos or whatever now, and you need to pick him up a lot. So if you can lift 80 kilos, you can eat 12 easy.
Like, everyone can stitch you up somehow. Like, you know, I could give you 100 quid and you could not give it back to me. But if you give your body anything nutritious, it's just going to earn from it.
Yeah.
And, like, you can put all your energy into shit and it might not manifest the right way, but if you put anything in your body that's good for it, whether it's movement, food, it's not going to stitch you up. On the nutrition side, do you like to cook?
I love to cook. I'm obsessed with it. Kaya keeps calling me a feeder.
I remember there's one pan or pot that you have at home.
Skillet. Don't wash my skillet.
Can you tell us about the skillet?
You brought it out. Was it whose birthday party was it?
Oh, he'll cook cornbread in it, and he'll bring it to the house that you're having.
We're all standing around, and then it just became you. You were just talking about. I don't know when it started, but you were talking about the pan, and I was fully involved. I was like, I'm not sure when this happened, but I'm so he's already telling.
He has to do that on arrival, just in case he gets distracted and the cornbread gets eaten and someone takes
someone
it
put soap in my skillet. Oh my God.
You just stared at me and went, don't wash my skillet.
Just, if you don't know how to use it, don't touch it.
What's the history of it?
Well, you season a skillet. It's cast iron. It's just straight up iron. And also, we should look up the actual stats, but it increases the amount of iron in your food by something like 20-30% just by cooking in a skillet. I know that sounds far-fetched, but or kind of gross. But somebody fact check. Thank you. All right, Jimmy, would you get on the get the fact check team on that? Also,
by the way, Ben didn't go to Juilliard.
His name isn't Walker. It's all a lie.
Yeah, he rips off his face, and it's Gladys.
What do we got? Food will gain about 6 to 8 milligrams of iron after being cooked in cast iron cookware. I knew that off the top of my head. I talk like this. I am not reading when I say. But a skillet. So you season a skillet, and it becomes almost as slick as a Teflon pan with none of the weird chemicals. And also you can bake in it. In Southern tradition, you kind of hand down your skillet that's been seasoned by the people that came before you, and it retains the flavor of things you've cooked in. It's really great.
It makes you want to learn how to cook better, I guess, when it's something that's been given to you and there's all that's gone into it, rather than it just
you really don't want to fuck it up.
Exactly.
I stayed at Ben's house and I was scared of the skillet. I was really scared of the skillet.
Cooking is such a huge part of, you know, knowing what you put in your body.
Like, people like overthink it so much, and they're like calories and blah blah blah. I try and use like the most basic like portion sizing, because that's all you need to know is like, don't deep fry shit. Obviously you can eat deep fried shit occasionally, but not as a regular thing. Like, use your fists as a guide. If you're trying to gain weight, eat 2 fists of protein, 2 fists of good carbohydrates, and 2 fists of green stuff. And if you're trying to lose weight, 1 fist of protein, 1/2 fist of carbohydrates, and 2 fists of green stuff. Like, it's really easy to...
I mean, it sounds easy, but I keep hearing fists of stuff now.
Fists, as in you look at your fist, that's how much size of stuff you eat.
The word
that's
skillet.
That's not the normal size of a fist. You possess.
That's why I keep gaining
weight.
That's
why he's got a belly. Am I right?
That's why he's getting bigger and bigger.
All right, here, let me ask you guys. So I really like, and I kind of fell into it by happenstance. I like to intermittent fast, only because it's efficient for me. Because I don't like, you know, like I get up, you know, I'm doing parent stuff and then work stuff and then, you know, then... And then when, you know, nighttime comes around, you actually get to sit down. That's when I want to eat. So I'll eat from like 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And that it just frees up time.
Yeah, totally.
And also, because, you know, about cooking, then you can actually plan something. You're not just, well, I'll scramble these eggs and put it in a bagel and shove it in my face, delicious.
If you've got to cook three times, there's a lot of cooking. If you only got to cook twice or even
once. Really good healthy meal.
And then eat the leftovers for lunch the next day and then cook once again. It makes you actually enjoy the cooking process. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What was the question? Because that was just a statement.
No, just intermittent fasting. Where you stand on it, is it...
Yeah, I mean,
you're a real stickler. Where's the question, Walker? No, but like, it's,
no,
like,
absolutely.
I know, I don't know that that's sustainable, and I don't, and I'm not like consciously trying to do anything with it. It's just, it's not gonna screw me up.
And taking days off and stuff is fine. No, actually, it's like beneficial for your digestive system to rest. The human body isn't made to eat regular meals like this. Like, we weren't, like, the human body is pretty much the same as it was 10,000 years ago when we weren't eating regular meals. We were hunting and gathering, and we'd have big meals and then we'd have smaller meals for a few days, and then we wouldn't eat for a day and then we'd have big meals again. Like, we're used to that, and our digestive system isn't actually used to working continuously. It needs to rest.
Well, that's when I get cranky. If I'm eating five meals a day and I'm an hour off my next meal,
When you're in that system,
you're not you.
Yeah, you're screwed. Whereas when
blood sugar is gone,
when you're used to having that period of time without food, it's actually really good for you.
Whatever the diet is, if it's like keto, intermittent fasting, whatever, all it is a way of controlling how much is going in, and it all boils down to like what works for you. It's like you saying that it fits your lifestyle with being a dad and working and everything, and then I think that a lot of people do find that. But then a lot of people also get kind of worried about, is it good, is it bad, or anything like that. But I think, like, strip it back to, does it kind of fit into what you're doing day to day? Because that's the best way that any of that stuff is going to work. So, like, it all boils down to the same thing, regardless of what name is given to it. It's just how much is going in. If it's too much, you're going to put on fat. If it's too little, you're going to have no energy. Can you find that kind of, like, happy sort of medium in between? And
here's another question. So I've heard like 70-30, your body's made in the kitchen 70%, 30% in the gym. I'm sure it all goes hand in hand.
It all depends on what you're trying to achieve as well. Like, that's normally used as for when people are losing weight.
Right.
Like, but like, that's not the goal for everyone that comes in. But if your goal is losing weight, like, the training is just tipping the balance. So the training is burning calories and you're eating less calories, so you're just like doubling down on that.
Yeah, it's over time. You know, whether it's like, I went to therapy once, am I sane? Like, no, you gotta keep going.
It's consistency.
I went to the gym once, am I in shape? Like, no, you gotta keep going, you know?
One salad isn't gonna make it better. Just like having one burger when you're only eating salads isn't gonna make it worse. Do you know what I mean?
But it's the flipping of that. Of like, well, I had a burger yesterday, I'm fat and terrible, I have another!
Yeah, I'm just gonna eat all the burgers now because I'm done. Yeah,
this 24-hour reset that we work upon for that, it's actually becoming more detrimental, I think, for people.
Come on, Brits!
Come on,
get in the kitchen!
government campaign.
Get in the kitchen! Get a skillet! Go to the gym! Shut up!
So it's that time of the show where we're going to hear a little embarrassing story from our guest. And we'd love it if we could hear some stories from the listeners as well. So if you get onto the Instagram, @BeforeTheLightsUK, and send them in to us, we will thoroughly enjoy reading through them.
Listen to the embarrassing stories. Da da da.
I like it.
Da da da. Da.
No.
There we go. That's done.
It was embarrassing because it ties into everything we were talking about. Where, you know, you're like having a frustrating day. You haven't been to the gym in a while, and you're like, I used to be able to pick this up, and I was doing like thrusters, I have really bad ankle mobility, which you've helped me with. Like, I wear these like shoes with heels, or you get a couple plates so that you can get full depth. But I didn't do any of that. I was just like, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna get strong and I'm gonna like, I literally hit the bottom. My back just went, no, you're not. You are going to collapse into a puddle of pain and sadness. And it was one of those moments where you're like, you're at the bottom, you've hit full depth, and then you like go even deeper in your soul. Because it's like a piano string snaps, and you're just like on, like a dead bug on the ground. You're like, someone, help me.
Was that
but don't
home?
Look at me. Don't look at me. Help me.
Were you in a public gym?
I was in a hotel gym.
Oh, the worst.
Which is, oh, God.
They're the worst.
Can we talk about hotel gyms? Like, a good hotel gym is worth its weight in gold.
Mm-hmm.
A bad hotel gym is like, it's just.
Sometimes they are cupboards. They're cupboards with a treadmill.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Yeah.
Oh man.
Or it's 90% treadmills and like really small area. Anyway, Ben's on the floor, dead bug. Don't look at him.
That was one of the moments where you're just like, hubris.
Yeah.
You know all the things to do. Yeah. I didn't roll out. I think I'd just gotten off a plane. I was like, I'm going to fix my time zones. I'm going to get in shape. I got a meeting tomorrow. I'm going to be all strong looking and ow! It was like that.
Did you turn up to the meeting as a ball?
I went to my hotel room and like it was one of those, I think I semi-crawled to the hotel room. And it was horrible. And then we had like the first read through the next day, and I was like, it's really like, but it's again like, don't take the time. It's gonna take time, and don't beat up your instrument. You're like, if you go Kurt Cobain on your guitar, it's gonna be cool for a second, but then you can't play it tomorrow.
Yeah, and don't think that one session is gonna fix everything.
Yeah,
because that's what we all do. Yeah.
Like that was really really. Like, it's embarrassing on a profound level. It's not, like, funny embarrassing. No. It's just like, you idiot.
How did you look in the meeting the next day?
Gladys. But it was like it hurt to breathe.
It's like a safe word of this podcast.
Yeah.
Gladys.
Gladys. Gladys. Gladys. Gladys. Yeah, that was not smart. And it's also one of those things where your body is cumulative. You know, you do something like that, and then you got to look out for it again.
Yeah. Yeah, your body will. You remember that, and a lot of pain is history of pain. A lot of people don't understand that pain is a psychological response to something happening in your body. Your brain makes it up. It's not something that actually exists. It's like your brain goes danger, and that's what pain is. Yeah. So like once you've done that once, you got to be careful of doing that position again because your brain is going to go, don't do that again. Last time we hurt ourselves, and it will cause pain even though it's not.
And your body will, like you say, get strong around it. Like that part of my back is actually pretty good now. Mm. But you're right. I guess your brain is like, don't touch that. Do that was hot before.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you're treating a person like a full person as opposed to today we're doing chest and back.
Yeah.
Or like, nice to see you, chest and back.
Yeah.
See you Thursday for legs. Hello, legs. You know that it's a person 100%. And they come in with, you know, whether they slept, how they feel, that you know, that's what I didn't do.
Yeah, we call it it's intuition training. Like we don't have our programs written out in a book. We'll keep like what weights people have done and like where the measurements are at, but we don't have like I know my day to day is this person's doing this, they're gonna lift this, they're gonna. When I meet someone, every time they come in, every client I see, I'm like, okay, I can work out if you're tired, I can like have a conversation with you when you're warming up, and everything changes. There's no set, like everything changes depending on that conversation we have. Or they go in and go, oh, I didn't sleep much last night. I'm like, okay, everything's, whatever I had planned is now out the window. I'm going to do something else. And that's how you have to work in this industry. You can't just go, okay.
Yeah, we've but got on five the paper here, it says we're doing squats.
Yeah. So yes, upcoming, you have Lord of the Rings.
September 2nd is when that.
Amazing. On Amazon Prime. Does it release all in one go or are we getting weekly things? Do you know that yet?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't.
That's
a good question.
It's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a binge. It's going to be huge. It's the most expensive TV show ever.
Are you
going
to have to go all around the world kind of touring it sort of thing? Like the whole press?
I haven't the slightest idea. I'm happy to. I'm actually genuinely excited for people to see it.
Because there's so many fans for it that it must be really exciting to kind of be able to go, here you go.
Yeah. And also, like, you do press for things that you're like, well, that's okay.
It's part of your job, but it's not the job that you want to do. But then it's something you actually don't mind doing, that's kind of a bonus, right?
What's the Betty Davis quote?
I thought it was Anthony Hopkins. I know the
maybe
one
it's Anthony Hopkins. It's a very
overused quote.
Yeah, overused and oversubscribed. But they pay you to sell it, not to make it. I'll just do like weird sounds underneath.
Cool. That makes me feel a lot more.
He can commentate on it if you want as well.
He's about to embark on an outro for the show. His cheeks are rosy.
They are.
He's feeling a little angry.
I'm going to just go right over the top of him.
Please do.
I'd like to thank
keep it low.
Benjamin Walker.
Walker.
For coming on today's show. I think we've covered a hell of a lot. There's been sound effects. There's been Ben dressing up as an old lady. I think on that note, we'll just say thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Oh, amazing. Oh, great.
Oh, wow. Be generous with the edit.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.